everyone, welcome to our bonus episode for this week. And what are we doing? We're going to Manchester.
We're here, we're there, we've been
in
our hotel room right now.
That's right.
Telling you all about what we're up to.
Came up because Sue Cleaver is playing Mother Superior in Sister Act. Well, it's finished now. At the Palace Theatre in Manchester. So we thought, why not go up for Easter break to have a look around?
We don't usually need much excuse to go to Manchester, but this was great because Sister Act is a musical that I'd wanted to see for so long because we were both big fans of the film. We're old. We remember it the first time it came out. I might have even been to see it at the cinema. And seeing that Sue Cleaver would be taking on the role of Mother Superior, we obviously had to go up here to check it out. So we've seen that now. We're currently recording this on Easter Sunday in the afternoon. So we've seen Sue. I've been to the tour this morning. We've got plenty more to talk about, hopefully, as the episode goes on. So we're going to be recording this in little bits and just letting you know what we've been up to.
That's right. We came up on the Saturday because we're playing with fire. So we left at like 9 o'clock in the morning, got stuck in the clothes by a sofa delivery van.
Yes.
For 10 minutes, which was very annoying.
And then it was a fairly painless trip on the whole, wasn't it?
Yeah. I mean, you were asleep for all the traffic jams.
Gemma's convinced that I went to sleep. I'm saying I'm just resting my eyes a little bit. This is when Gemma was driving, by the way. I must have had that extra bit. But I don't know. I think I was just having a little rest, but
you don't remember any of the stuff I said to you, so you were asleep. I don't understand why it's so important to you that you were not asleep when you had your eyes closed and you looked like your neck was broken. With your mouth open and your head, like, cocked to one side. Anyway, we got here, like, maybe 3:30.
Yeah.
We checked in to the hotel. I mean, it's cheap and cheerful. I'm not happy about having to walk on the floor with my bare feet, but less said about that,
it'll
the better.
Do. It's not the worst Manchester hotel that I've stayed in.
No, true. Fairly central location, not very, very close to the Palace Theatre. So yesterday we came. I think we've done various bits and bobs like food things, but I think we'll talk about that at the end or maybe in a separate thing.
Well, let's get on with the star attraction, which was Sue Cleaver in Sister Act.
That's right. So we went to see, what was it, half seven it started. It was in the, like I said, Palace Theatre, and we had fairly good seats.
Yes.
I mean, they weren't the most expensive ones, but we were.
I thought we had a really good view.
You could see the whites of people's eyes just about. And so it was fun to watch that. Where's the programme gone? I need to get the programme, and then we can talk about who was in it.
Oh, go on then.
Right, programme. We've got the programme. It says Landi Oshinowo, who played Dolores Van Cartier. She was so good.
She was fantastic. She really
belted it out.
Yeah, she did. I was kind of thinking, I didn't know what to expect from this because it's kind of similar to the film, but also different enough that it's its own thing. And I was expecting it to almost just be the film but on stage.
Well, the thing is, the film is a musical. So I was also expecting that. I thought they would just do, I mean,
it's the same basic plot.
Yeah, the plot's the same. The songs are completely different. I don't think they do anything.
No, there wasn't anything there that I recognised.
Like original score. And like I said, Sue Cleaver played Mother Superior. Landi, she was in I'd Do Anything, which is what Jodie Fringle was in.
Oh, was she? So, the interpretation of Dolores Van Cartier here was a little bit different. I think that Whoopi Goldberg's Dolores was a little bit more subdued, wasn't she? But I think that the one for the musical that they made a bit more outrageous, and I think that probably it was a bit more of a fit for the stage. Mm-hmm. I would say personally, as I was watching it throughout the first half of it, I was thinking, oh, you know, this isn't quite how I remember. That's not quite how I wanted or remember Dolores being. But she was still fantastic. But as it kind of went on, I thought, actually, I think having somebody really outrageous and in your face was probably what the show needed.
How much of this do you want it to be a review of Sister Act, the musical?
Yeah, no, I think we can still do that. I mean,
okay, they added a whole new character. He was Eddie Souther.
No, but I think, there was the policeman in the actual film. I don't know whether he was called
Eddie. The character of, like, the boy, yeah, he was called that, because I think I remember.
Okay.
But
yeah, go on.
Well, he was played by Alfie Parker.
I didn't really like that character, if I'm just being...
You were the only one in the audience.
Everybody in the audience loved the policeman character. Clearly. I didn't, and then they made him a bit of a love interest. He was just a bit of a proper dopey... He was almost a bit kind of police chief Wiggum-y, wasn't he?
Well, he reminded me a bit of, in Chicago, the husband.
Yeah.
Like, he almost had his own Mr. Cellophane song.
Yeah, yeah. Point. I really enjoyed most of the new songs there, particularly all the ones where the nuns were singing together in chorus. That was always my favourite. They had a couple of solo songs that some of the characters did that I wasn't a big fan of. But on the whole, it was toe-tapping fun.
I mean, do you mean nun-tapping fun?
Yes. Well, Sue Cleaver even got her own musical numbers. She had three solos.
I thought she was fantastic.
She was great. I mean, Maggie Smith obviously played the role of Mother Superior in the original
Leslie
film.
Leslie Joseph has been Mother Superior, and Sue Cleaver's taken over from her. I don't know who's playing it next.
No. I mean, you can't top Maggie Smith, but I don't think Sue was trying to. She made the character her own.
I'm also not sure how many songs Maggie Smith would have done.
Well, this is true. She was very laid back in the role. It was funny seeing her kind of having a bit of a bop around the stage, which is, you know, mostly she wasn't. Obviously, the role of Mother Superior is very uptight and being aghast at everything that Dolores was bringing to the nunnery. But she did have a couple of numbers, didn't she?
Yeah, that's right. And so similar to the movie, we had the same kind of nun character, like stereotype, prototypes, whatever you want to call them. So we had Sister Mary Robert, who, as we all remember,
she's
in
the quiet
movie,
one.
The apprentice nun, Eloise Runette. She played her fantastically. We also had Julie Stark, who played Sister Mary Lazarus, who was the one with the deep voice and the scratchy accent. She was great. And also Sister Mary Patrick, who's played by Kathy Najimy in the original. She's played by Isabel Canning. And the whole cast were absolutely fantastic.
I agree.
They were so charismatic.
Mm-hmm.
Even small parts they filled the room. I couldn't say enough good things about how talented and well done the whole thing was.
It was a really, really fun evening. Lots of glitz.
Loads of sequins.
There were lots
confetti,
of sequins. I said earlier that it didn't completely follow the plot of the film, but it didn't need to. And it was basically
the same story,
wasn't it? There was a bit of a love interest thing between Dolores and the cop, which I personally didn't think was needed.
No,
but
I guess
it was probably needed, you know, with people like that on stage.
I thought it was great.
Yeah.
It was funny.
And also it was set in the 70s, which the original wasn't. The other original was definitely 90s-ish. If you think about, like, the teenagers that were drawn into the church with their gangster, very 90s kind of outfits. And this, for some reason, was set in the 70s. But there were also a few new characters with the gangsters, which were quite fun, weren't they? But I really, really enjoyed it. And if you're kind of thinking, oh, should I go and see this? I enjoyed the film. Absolutely get out there, but just be aware that it's not exactly the same. The songs aren't the same, so you're not going to be doing "I Will Follow Him" or anything.
You're not going to be seeing Sue Cleaver, because she's finished her.
I think she's just finished here. I think that Sue's doing a few other places, but I can't remember how long she's got left.
Oh, yeah, I think you're right, actually.
Yeah. So
I wonder whether it was because it's set in the 70s, because this is not a spoiler, you should have seen it by now, the movie was out in the 90s. At the end of the film, they perform for the Pope. And the Pope did go to Philadelphia in the 70s.
Did he?
But he didn't go in the 90s, so
they kind of make it historically clearly.
The movie in the 90s was absolute trash, fake. Pope was not there. Can't believe it.
I just think because a lot of the musical numbers were kind of Motown inspired, I think it fit it to have it in that particular time. It took a bit of a while to get used to, but
why they set it there. I think they just wanted people to wear flares and have sequins.
But Sue was great, and what I was really pleased with, it didn't just feel like Eileen Grimshaw on stage. She was playing somebody different, wasn't she?
Well, she
after all this time of seeing her only as Eileen.
Well, she had a very plummy accent, didn't she?
Mm.
I thought that was great. I don't think I've ever heard her do it a different accent.
No, I don't think I have either.
And I mean, she was... I can't say enough good things about her. She was really good.
Mm.
I loved it.
So afterwards, we went outside and we were thinking, shall we try and catch her at the stage door? So we went out and they started putting barriers up, didn't they? And there was only about maybe 10 of us were there, kind of hanging around outside.
There were autograph hunters, and you kept going to me, oh, I wish I'd brought my Sharpie.
We had a programme, we didn't have a Sharpie.
We've never had a programme.
But we don't often get autographs done anyway.
No.
So we waited, and then some of the other cast came out, and eventually Sue came out and she had a baseball cap on her head, and she stayed and
she
talked
had a
to
her. leopard print.
She did. She did. She stayed and talked to a couple of people at the far end and then walked off. And I was like, I don't wait like here for 10 minutes.
Ran.
I sprinted down the street.
You were coming after her to like murder her.
So I left you in the dust, didn't I? And I was like, so.
Well, I didn't think it would be appropriate for us both to run at her.
No. So I said, you know, that was a great show. We come from Southampton, and then I said, oh yeah, we're from. We're from Conversation Street, and she's like, "Oh, the podcast." So that was quite nice that she knew a bit about Conversation Street.
I think it's more to say that she might have been pre-warned.
Do you think? But she was appreciative of the fact that we came up to Southampton for her.
She was really nice and friendly, and gregarious and open. And
got a photograph.
We got a photo with her, and
she's looking good at the moment, isn't she?
I'm glad that she enjoyed herself. It looked like she did, and I hope that she had a great time and. I would really like to be able to see a different side of her, and I think that
I'm really glad that we came up to see
I hope that more Corrie people get a chance to do things like this.
We'll give us more chance to
extracurricular activities, you might say. But yeah, what a great role for her. She was great.
So that kind of was the end of yesterday night, and then today so far it's all been about the Corrie tour. Now I just made a solo trip up to Media City today because you wanted to mooch around the shops, didn't you?
No, I'm not going.
Yeah, Gemma says she's not doing
tired.
The tour.
We drove up all day. I've been on the tour.
You've done it.
Michael has got. He wanted to go. He wanted to see the Star Tour. He wanted to take more footage of new things. And I said, do I need to go?
But this is going to be good. You know, rather than just us talking about it, I've got back about an hour or so ago, and I've not told Gemma anything. So this is going to be you finding out about what I got up to today.
When you came in, I was like, "Oh, what did you do? What happened? Tell me." And you're like, "No, I'm going to record it."
Well, so you're going to be interviewing me now, aren't you?
Just to say, love the tour, but I've been on it many times, so I thought I'd rather just I relaxed. I watched some YouTube videos, went out. Got some Timbits.
Yeah.
Ate my boiled egg.
Well, hopefully, I think I'm probably going to be doing a YouTube version of this, so you may well be seeing bits of footage as we're talking about if you're watching it on YouTube. By the way, we couldn't obviously film any of the Sister Act musical. I got a couple of photos before and after, so I don't know what I'm going to be showing while we're talking about that. Stills of the programme, maybe.
You missed one thing I did do while you were in Corrie is a Corrie-related activity. Yeah. Went to Annie's. Which is owned by
Jim McAlpine,
who plays Fizz, and I had a French martini.
Very nice.
And so there you go.
That was 10 years ago. The first time we went to Annie's, we're coming rapidly up on the 10-year anniversary of meeting Jenna McAlpine there.
I'm sure she's got it on her calendar.
I'm sure she has. Yeah, so anyway, so I went...
Missed two trams.
Yeah, we almost didn't get any footage of this at all. So our hotel is about 10 minutes away from the tram stop. And I walked out there, got to the tram stop, and then literally I was 30 seconds away from catching a tram. So that was annoying. And then you texted me and said, oh, you've forgotten the battery pack for the mobile. And I was like, well, I don't know if my camera's going to last all that time with all the footage that I want to be taking. So then I was like, right, I got 15 minutes to get to the hotel and back, pelted it down the road, sped walk down the road back to the hotel, got the battery off of you, got back to the tram stop in St. Peter's Square. I know you did, and I still missed it.
Didn't make any difference.
As I got back to the tram stop, the next tram was disappearing into the distance. But it's all right. I've given it plenty of time to get there for
I got your black sheep mocha.
Yeah, you caught up with me, didn't you? And then after all that, it turned out the battery pack didn't even work. So I still don't know what happened. All that time in the battery. I had the battery charger and all that. I don't know why it's not working.
We need to sort that out.
I know we do. So yeah, got on the tram, got over to Media City, and on the journey there, I had to look on our Facebook group, and one of our listeners, Caitlin, said, "Oh, I'm going on the tour."
Oh.
At 4:15. I haven't told you this yet.
No.
Oh, I thought you saw this.
Did you meet her?
I did.
Were you on the same tour?
We were. It was very fun. There we go. See,
I went over the
bridge, and then just outside the Coronation Street tour, I saw the crowds gathering.
Yeah.
And because Kate had put a picture of herself outside the studios, I was able to look out for her. So she was there with her mum, and I basically just went around the tour with somebody else today.
Did you latch on?
I did. I latched on to the tour, and she's from Southampton as well. So she drove up from Southampton yesterday at the same time as us. So we were comparing traffic and journeys.
Why didn't we share a car?
We could have carpooled, couldn't we? But with what we've got planned for the rest of this week,
I don't think we should have appreciated being dragged
along there. Yeah, it's okay. Kate and Mum were lovely. And we sat outside and we talked about, you know, what's been going on Corrie recently.
Well, hang on. I just want to say, so next time you go on a Corrie tour, just remember, you could be sharing it with a... a member of Conversation
Well,
Street.
this was double star tour for Caitlin, really, wasn't it? Because, you know, we went and saw somebody official later, but I know that I was the real
main draw.
Yeah, no, they were both really, really lovely, and we were waiting to go. And the queuing system outside the star tour, outside the Coronation Street experience, is still a little bit hodgepodge, because there's just kind of a big bundle of people waiting, and, you know, we are British, so we naturally form into some sort of queue. Yeah. And eventually, when we got to 1:15, which is our entrance time, we went in and we got inside and we waited around for the tour. I saw Dave, the security Dave, but Dave,
legend.
I did see security Dave later on, but I saw Dave, the tour guide, and said a bit of hello to him because he was doing the tour just in front of us. But yeah, we went and sat down in the restaurant and the cafe area. So my kind of main idea from this was to try and find out, you know, what's new for 2024, or at least what's new since the last time that we went, which I think was June last year. And the cafe's changed. They've got new people in. So remember before, the selection of biscuits and sandwiches and stuff that they had there, they've got a new provider there. So
they never said they were going to run it themselves, but they did.
Yeah, they did at the beginning. I'm just trying to find. So I've got some pictures loaded, saved up in my favourites to show Gemma as we're talking. You've not seen that.
What kind of stuff are they selling then? Is it the same or?
Yeah. Same sort of stuff. I think they had were there burgers there? I can't remember. I'm going to see if I've got any pictures of the cafe. I'm not sure if I do, to be honest.
Why they don't sell hot pots.
Well, maybe they do. I don't know. I didn't actually take a photo of the the menus.
It's a good job that
scrolling. where is it?
If I lived in Manchester, because I love Manchester. Like, it's my favourite city outside London in the UK.
Mm.
And I would love to live here. And if I did live here, I would maybe start my own hot pot business, and I would supply hot pots to the tour, because they need to sell hot pots. I don't understand why they don't. Because if Jenny can ping them in the microwave, then so can they.
Well, exactly. I haven't got any pictures of the cafe. That's annoying. That's terrible.
Well, you know, it is open, isn't it, for the public?
It is. You can go there during the week. What I did take a picture of, which
was also... Can you just tell me what it was different about it then?
Well, they just had a different selection of food. It looked a bit nicer, and they had like a sandwich board there with a chalkboard with the menu on. It looked fancy.
I need to see this for myself.
I know, sorry. I failed you with that.
You really, really did.
But they also had a little check-in area. So I've got a picture of it here. So when you go in, there's like a little rover's counter with the tour, the welcomers there. That's so fun. You have to sign in. And so you go and say where you are and which tour you're on. You got the wristband, gold wristband for me today.
Was it for the VIP tour?
I don't know whether it was just gold because it was star tour. I don't think so. Yeah, I did. Yeah, I haven't kept this. Yeah, we went there. I think there were a couple of other bits and pieces that were new. Like, there were some photos on the wall. I don't know whether... Do you recognise these? I'm just showing Gemma the pictures now. So they're a little photo frame. I remember the first time we went there, and it was sort of going back, a year and a bit ago. It was a little bit emptier, wasn't it? But it's really kind of filled out now. So it's a nicer little waiting area. Now, Kate saw the, the penny presser there.
Yeah.
Yeah, and she wanted to have a little souvenir penny done, so she turned the wheel, got a penny pressed for herself with the picture of the Rover's return on. It was nice.
I like those machines.
Yeah.
They used to be a very a fixture of our childhoods, didn't they?
They did.
Every single place you went to, Blackpool Tower.
Yeah.
Brighton Pier.
Got to get a penny
flattened out with a picture of something else on it.
I went into the gift shop as well. They did have one or two new bits of merch.
Did they?
Yeah, a little bit. And
this is really fun because I have no idea what
I know.
What
in my pocket here now, I've got,
what have you got?
Something that I haven't shown you about. It is a Newton & Ridley bottle opener.
I needed this.
Did you? Oh, yeah, we did, didn't we? When we were driving out yesterday. Do you remember what needed a bottle opener?
Well, there you go. That's cool. How much is it? Do you remember?
£8.50 or something like that.
Okay, £8.50.
Yeah, but it's got Newton & Ridley.
Okay, so it is. It's got the little symbol on it, but also the key ring actually has Coronation Street written on it in silver, which is a nice touch.
Yeah, so I'll be able to add this to my key ring now. I'm really pleased with this.
You're putting this on your key ring?
Well, maybe. I don't know. Am I not allowed? Or we got to hang it up in the kitchen?
Well, I mean, it is a bottle opener.
Yeah, so they had that. They had...
I like that.
I can't remember what new stuff they had. There was a tea towel there I didn't recognise.
What's this?
It's just part of the Newton and Ridley logo. Oh,
okay.
So there we go.
What was the tea towel that you didn't recognise?
It was... let me see if I can find a picture of it here. There was...
Well prepared.
I know, I'm not very well prepared at all for this. Am I going to edit this?
Do you remember any ideas about what the general colour of the...
It had the Rovers on, it had...
Was it not green?
It had a few things. Sorry, oh God, Bennett, this is terrible. Terrible preparation from Michael.
Is that the only new thing you saw, this and the...
Quite possibly. Here it is, look, there's a Rovers tea towel.
Oh, it's got the bricks, it's got the outside.
Yeah, Rovers and bricks. There were a lot of the books there.
Did they have the gin?
They did have some Wonky Duck, yes.
Apparel.
They were just the usual stuff. They had some of the what was that company that did the Freshco's jumpers and things from last year? They had Jules, wasn't it?
No.
Joni?
Yes,
Joni, that's the one.
They had that.
They had those there, which I can't remember whether that was.
They
there
never
before.
Had that before, Michael. I'm telling you that. Did they have Trim Up North hoodies?
They did, and a t-shirt. And I was tempted. I would quite like a Trim Up North t-shirt, but I didn't get one this time.
How much are they?
I can't remember.
Because the hoodies quite expensive, weren't they?
Yeah. Did they have these before? There's some Newton and Ridley beer mats.
I don't remember. I didn't remember
whether they had those, but I got a picture.
I think
of them
we might have to go to Media
us.
City. And pick up some more merch.
Yes, I think so. So anyway,
we should do a competition.
We sat around and we waited and we went in. Now, you know, as you go through the shop and then you kind of turn left to go down towards where the cinema is, they had a replica Rover's Return frontage there. This is new, isn't it? No, it wasn't going to the cinema. You walk past this. Do you recognise this? I can't remember whether this was here before.
Of course it wasn't.
No, I can't remember. I've just been there now. So that was quite cool that they had that. It was a lot of the areas that when they first opened this a year ago were a bit plain, were a lot more filled with stuff, and I think that really helped the experience.
See, this is the clever thing, you know, that they're using the same tricks that the cinemas did when they first, moving pictures. Well, moving pictures when they first started, they had the technology to put sound in, but they didn't because they thought everyone's going to love this. You don't need sound. And then when people stopped going, they were like, let's put sound in. Right. And then they were like, no one likes it anymore. Let's put in colour and see what happens then.
And this is just adding more to the experience.
Yeah, add more.
So we went and we saw the video. I could watch it again and again and again. That compilation of clips that they show you in the cinema is the best that I've ever seen.
Shout
in Corrie.
Out to the archive department.
Yeah, it was super. And then
Dom and Helen.
We went on our tour. Now they've changed the route slightly from before.
Oh, because they changed it already. Yeah. Didn't they? So they used to go round the front way, and now they went round the back way.
Mm.
So it used to take you down the back along parallel to the road.
Yeah, it used to take you to the police station.
You go to
first.
The police station, go to the precinct, you come out and around.
Yeah. Well, this time they take you right up to the Tony Warren building, which is where obviously all the offices are. But they had it dressed up like Weatherfield General. Look at this is so cool. So over the building, they've got over the entrance, they've got Weatherfield General Hospital. There's signs for the accident and emergency.
Just so you guys know, they've built an extension to the front.
Yeah, this is the first time we'd seen that as well.
So they used to have a tiny little waiting area where the main front desk was. So you'd come in, no matter who you were, if you were like a journalist or delivering something.
Or just a pleb like us.
Or like picking someone up or anything. If you're a visitor, you sat very close to the main desk and all the stars would walk past you. And I think what they've done now is they've increased the size of the area so that there's waiting rooms and stuff so that just makes it a bit more spacious at the front.
Mm.
But they've capitalised on that concept by turning that area into the frontage of Weatherfield General. And I think they might use it for filming, I'm not sure.
Yeah, no, I think they do. I think they do.
I don't know.
So yeah, that was really cool. And then we walked down the side round to the back of, you know, where the Eccleston and Sons is underneath the viaduct.
Yes.
And
that's the street you very, very rarely ever see. It's to the left just towards of the Rovers. End of
Rosamond Street.
If you're standing in front of Audrey's looking at the Rovers, it's to the left of that. Mm. And those shop fronts are named after crew members.
Yeah, from back in the day.
Yes.
Now, from there, we walked on towards where the back of Victoria Street is, but that takes you down Prop Alley, which the last time we went on the tour, we didn't go down, but I think on a previous version we had. Now, they've really kitted this out nicely because along the wall there, they've put a load of signage that you can have a look at and snap photos of. So if you remember like the Weatherfield Peace Festival they had on Victoria Street.
Didn't go down very well.
Didn't go so well. There was a bit of a bomb there. So there's a sign for that. There's stuff. Look at this. I've got Rovers, local family, local pre-launch. There, Webster's Auto Centre, Freshco signs. It's a really good use of space. Which one?
Weatherfield Wine and Gin Company.
Yeah, I don't even know what that's from. I don't recognise that.
That might be a new thing.
Possibly. There's a Trim Up North sign there. There's flat developments. It's really neat. There's loads of stuff to look at. Butcher's sign, Sally Mayer's sign. I really appreciate this. The Weatherfield Cheese Wheel, even. I've got no idea where that was from.
Home of the famous Weatherfield cobbler. That must be a sort of cheese.
I guess it must be. So then that takes you.
Oh, I've got another idea for what they can sell in the gift shop. Some nice wax wrapped Weatherfield cobbler cheese. Well, why not? They've got random strawberry jam.
They have got.
And it's not even called Hayley's jam because it should be. We all know why.
Yes. They then had you go past where some of the vans were, so we saw a Newton and Ridley truck, which had like a little zippy in the front.
What's he got zippy in his from mouth? Me,
but a glove, a Richard Hellman glove, it looks like. And then they take you down Victoria Lodge. So we saw the bit where you know where Liam and Dylan had that little scuffle a month or so ago. Got to see that.
Because those are the security huts and also where they get post.
Yes, yeah.
Day to day.
That then we went into. Did we go to bit? Oh no, that then took us to the precinct. That's right. And Kate and her mum were quite excited about going into the precinct because it was the new bit. I mean, they hadn't been on the tour at all, so it was really nice to be able to go around with people who this was the first trip to Weatherfield.
It is amazing. The first time
but the
go.
Precinct as the new bit is always going to be a draw for the new people. Our tour guide was really interesting. She,
do you remember the name?
I can't remember her name.
Dreadful.
I'm sorry. She was fantastic, and she was really interested in the technical side of it and the filming. So a fact that I learned about the precinct that I didn't realise from before was the way that the size of the bricks have been done at the top of the precinct kind of makes it look like when you're filming upwards from it. No, when you're filming up towards it, it makes the brick the walls there look taller than they actually are. So there's like a trick of perspective there. Yeah, yeah.
Well done. See, this is one thing I want to say about anyone who wants to go on the tour, who's been on the tour before, they do constantly update the scripts.
Well, I think different tour guides focuses as well.
They have different interests, but they also do write new stuff based on feedback from tour goers. So
Now, one thing that I was looking out for when I was there were, are there any spoilers for anything that's going to be happening?
Yeah.
Because I think they're filming late May, early June at the moment. When we later got onto the street, the cabin had Father's Day stuff in. I think we've seen before. This isn't our first Easter trip to the street, is it? So we've seen the Father's Day stuff. But I'm afraid to say Lauren Bolton is still missing. I don't, is that a spoiler? Uh-oh. I don't know. I don't know whether they just kept that up out for us or whether it is a case of...
Well, there's a certain amount of dressing that they can do between the Friday filming and the Saturday beginning of the tours.
Yeah.
And we have seen that in action because one time we went, we got to see the precinct before anyone else did.
Mm.
But they had Ardie and Kelly's engagement party.
Oh yeah.
That they decked out the front of the bistro with balloons, and as we were walking around, we did see them dismantling that in time for the tour.
For the tour, sorry.
Yeah,
so we had a look around the precinct, then we go to the police station. That used to be the bit where the Star Tour would be, but that's been moved somewhere else.
Hello.
So I'll tell you a bit more about that later.
Yep.
We went down Victoria Street, Hayes Travel. First time we got to see that one in the flash. So I had a good peer through the windows there. Where's my Hayes Travel to show you?
Where can you go?
No, cruise holidays, yeah, non-specific holiday destinations. But yeah, I got myself Beach. A bit of a selfie outside Hayes Travel, which has got a little table inside and a few chairs for the customers. Yeah, now the co-op had gone. It was all
boarded.
Nope. Here it is. Look. So next to the Hayes Travel, we just found out last week that the co-op was leaving. Was ending its time as sponsor of Corrie.
Wow.
So that is all boarded up. I was kind of hoping we might get a sneak preview of who the next sponsor was going to be there, but alas, that's going to have to wait for another time. Yeah. So then, I mean, the rest of it after that was very similar to what I'd seen before. I don't know whether you've noticed this before. So I went and had a look. I was trying to just find bits that Gemma, you've not seen. So we went into I looked in Victoria Gardens, and down on the floor there was a little plaque which is for the tree, which says presented to HM Queen Elizabeth II on her visit to Coronation Street July 2021. Do you recognize this from before?
Yes.
Oh, so, oh, I thought I was gonna say something cool that you hadn't seen before.
You know, I love gardens, and I really was intrigued and enthralled by the fact they gave her this red robin tree.
Had you seen this little stone with a queen and Paddington on? Well, there
I
we
don't
go. There's
think
something new for
they
you.
Had that at the time.
Okay,
but maybe I'm wrong.
Okay,
Paddington Bear's turned into a right serial killer, isn't he?
Oh yeah, first him, then who's next?
I don't know.
What is he talking about?
I'm not sure, but every time anyone dies in this country now, there's a picture of them getting taken to heaven by Paddington.
Oh
Bear.
Yes, there is, isn't
Who
there?
Who was the other one?
No, I don't know, but I remember seeing Diane from The Traitors having a picture of him.
Oh,
with,
yeah. I mean, he probably took Paul O'Grady.
Yeah.
Who's next? King Charles, I don't know.
Going down Victoria Street, there was a really cool bit that was next to the builder's yard. By the way, builder's yard still boarded up after the fire a couple of months ago.
Did you see the special staircase for escaping fires?
I did, yes. Yeah. but they also had a little area opened up where you could look inside. I'm just trying to find whether I've got an outside view of this. I don't think I have. I've just got the inside, and you can peer inside, and they show you like camera where all the equipment is stored.
Yes.
And there's photos all up on the wall.
That's interesting. That must be there for the tour.
I think that they put cameras here when they want to film across the other side of the street.
They do have storage areas, because when we went with Charlie that time, he took us around.
Mm.
We got to see some storage areas, because obviously you guys all know, or maybe you don't, that most of the fronts are fake on the streets. Some of them have a little bit of filming area, like the kebab shop, that's all real.
Mm-hmm.
So everything, they can film inside there. Community centre, that's all real, you can go in there.
Yes, I went into the community centre today. That was the same as it was last time we saw it.
But some bits are fake fronts, and then inside that, you will be able to store equipment.
Yeah. I got.
So they're putting that under the builder's yard at the moment.
Is nearby there, yeah, nearby. I got.
They've also got some areas, like, on top of the Audrey's is a area for production staff if they want to film on the street.
Mm.
So they've got, like, a production suite in there so they can, you know, the director will sit there while they're filming on the show.
Our tour guide was fun. That she was taking pictures of us, so I got her to take a few pictures of me. So there's me outside Roy's. There's one of me outside the police station. And also, I took one of myself outside the new Preston's Petals. I was looking forward to seeing this. The lovely new pastel pink Preston's Petals.
I do like
Petals.
It. I think it's much better now. What's this at the top?
What?
Just
more floral bits.
Mm.
And also, I got to, you know, I could see the signs down the side. Find us on SendPX, Friend Connect.
I saw that on the show the other day.
Did you?
I thought that was quite funny.
Didn't get to go inside there. It was a dressed set, so it looks like they're going to be filming on there early next week.
Mm.
Bus stop at the moment has got a Hayes Travel sign on. So, you know, in between sponsors for the other one. So it's all about the Hayes at the moment.
I want to know where I can go Viaduct shopping.
You can't, not for now.
Not anymore.
I also was looking out for the new bus stop, because we spoke on the podcast recently about them going to the B line. Now, we'd noticed...
B line?
Yeah.
It's not called the B line.
B network.
B line would be more funny and great, because B line is actually a phrase.
Now. As we've been going around Manchester the last couple of days, we've seen all the buses with the B network logo on, haven't we? And so it was. They've now incorporated that into the set, so that was fun. We saw Billy's new front door, his new apparently extra wide front
that.
Door to incorporate.
That was on the show the other day.
Yeah, I know.
Okay,
I just think this is the first time we get to see it. The Ginner was open. Yeah, just the rest of the street was just the same. So I was just going around snapping pictures of things. I'm thinking, I don't know what I haven't got pictures of. So I just went all around. The tour didn't take us round the back of the factory, you know, where Stephen...
Where Leo died.
But I had to sneak round there anyway. And I've discovered some vans. So I've the Preston's Petal and the Viaduct Bistro van and the pharmacy, Sheila Pharmacy van. So I was one of the only people that went round there. And I did a few little pictures of myself posing, maybe a bit naughtily, with some vans. But I don't care.
Well, you love vans, don't you?
I love them. Love vans.
Always when you see a van, I've got to take a photo of you with it.
So yeah, then so we get to Viaduct Street, tour ends, and then we go back inside the main extra building, and that's where we went upstairs to the Star Tour.
Oh, the Star Tour! Forgot about that.
There we go.
Right, so hang on. So the Star Tour happens at the end now.
It does. Yeah, so it's you're building up the anticipation as you're going around for who it's actually going to be.
And you also get the... This is where the exhibition is. The same building?
Yeah, it is. It's like upstairs from it. So you go right... Oh, so I think it's right up to the top.
Writers and the meeting rooms are.
Yeah, it is very nice. So it used to be that the Star would pop out of the police station. And then you got to go in there...
Oh. Sorry.
And pose it's with me. Them in a bit of a Corrie set.
I'm your favourite character.
But this time they've opened up like a conference room and there's screens that say Star Tour. You everyone kind of goes in, you get a seat, and then Neil, who's the boss at the Corrie Tour, he welcomes you and says, oh, you enjoyed the tour, gives a few hints about who the character's going to be. And today the Star Tour guest was Tanisha Gorey.
I love her.
Lovely. Now, this isn't the first... We've met Tanisha a couple of times before. She's so, so nice. So it's lovely. Faye's Asher, of course. It was lovely to see her again.
She's so much fun. She's such a nice person.
She's the best. She's really lovely and chatty. And the way... The place that I was sat in the room... I was right next to the door that she was going to come in. So, like, there was the door that was open next to me. The corridor led down from my left. And then I saw Security Dave welcoming her through the corridor and into the room. And as she came out of the room, she noticed me sitting there. Was like, hello.
She say, oh.
Yeah, she gave me, she knows. Yeah, she gave me a little wave. Was like, oh, what are you doing here? and then you go like row by row. So you're sitting in rows in chairs. A bit like, you know, it's like with the stage in front of you.
It's like school when you're getting a certificate.
It was a bit. And then the back row, go and line up. Next row, go and line up. And you get to... Get to say hello, so I said hello to Tanisha, and she's and we're like, oh, funny seeing you here. She wondered where you were, and I said that
did
you were.
She?
Yeah, she said, are you on your
she
own?
Know who I am? Okay.
Yeah, she said she's yeah. She said, I said I was just going around the shops today. I can't remember much about what we talked. I think overall having it up in that new place is a benefit. You get to have a sit down for it.
It's
feels
not cold.
A lot.
You're not getting rained on.
No. And you, I think it's probably better for the stars as well that they
can sit.
Because yeah, they've got their own little special side room that they can go in between tours. What I would say for me is I felt a little bit awkward going up to speak to Tanisha because I had just rows and rows of people watching me meeting her.
Yeah, that didn't happen before, did it?
No.
Came out of the room.
You go into the police
station.
Yeah, exactly. And I think for most people, and this is not going to be a negative for most people, it doesn't make any difference because everybody's saying, oh, lovely to meet you, where are you from, or whatever. But with Tanisha and I, it's like we know each other. And like the things that we were talking about is that I felt a bit funny talking about it in front of an audience and thinking, there's probably a load of people in the room at the moment wondering why I appear to know Tanisha Gorey and why she appears to know me. So we had a bit of an awkward stand next to each other and got a photo. Neil took the photos and then I kind of scuttled back down to my seat again.
Hello to Dave.
I did say hello to Security Dave as well, of course. Got a thumbs up from him.
Oh, good.
And then once everybody had seen Tanisha, then if you had a tour guide booklet, you know, the square books that you can get from the gift shop, then you get to line up again and she would and she would sign those. But she was lovely. She was really, really good with the audience. And when she came out, she did a little spiel and was like, hello, lovely to see you. Oh, I've been on the show for 16 years.
Bless her. Do you know what?
She was really, really good with the audience. And I was kind of hearing mutterings from the people around me saying, oh, she's so lovely, isn't she? Oh, she's so nice. And look how small she is as well. You always get that with her.
I know that I have no right to say this, but I do feel so proud of her because she's
been like, we've seen her grow from a young girl, and she stayed in the show. She survived a recast. She has earned her place as a young adult in the cast.
Yeah.
And I am super, super proud of how talented she is and
she's
how
ace. Well she I seems love
to
her.
Be dealing with being on the show, because it can be quite difficult. You know, you're under a lot of public scrutiny, and she's got through COVID and everything, so
One of the things that she said when she was doing a talk at the beginning was like, oh, people always ask me if I've been there since the beginning, am I the original? And I say, yes, I am.
Oh, good for her.
So I think she's really pleased with the fact that she's still going there, and long may she continue. We've not had huge Asher stories recently, have we?
But she had her own story with the skin lining stuff, she did such a good, bloody good job.
I love her. And even though, you know, we'd seen her before. The last time we saw Tanisha was last autumn, wasn't it? When we saw Sue Devaney's show.
Yes.
She came along there with us. But I was, really, really happy to see it was her again.
And she's just cool.
Yeah, she is very, very cool. She's and lovely.
That, you know, that
very
comes
nice.
From someone else who's also cool, so
means
a lot.
after that, we were let down into the exhibition space.
You let down? Yep. You moved... physically,
yes. None of it was a letdown.
Towards the Earth's core.
I didn't spend too long in the exhibition space because I had seen it all before. And this is where I left Kate and her mum, and they stayed there for a bit longer. But I did look out for any new bits. The whole time I was like, what's new? So obviously Gemma's wedding dress was there. So finally I've managed to get a photo of Gemma's wedding dress
in the
flesh. You
said obviously, like it's obvious. But...
Well, it was obvious because I knew that it was going to be there.
Very,
so
very
there
cool.
Is. They've put down some little plaques next to some of the costumes now to say where they're from, which wasn't there last time we went.
Okay.
They also had... No, I don't remember. Was this one here before? We've got Rita's wedding dress on when she married Dennis Tanner. That was a new one. They had... What else was new? Jenny Connor's wedding dress.
Nope, that
this
one there.
Wasn't there before. This was from the one that she wore on the back of her motorbike when she turned up from the hospital looking radiant.
I wish they had the designers and stuff. They don't have that information on there.
No.
That's a shame.
Yeah, so that was cool. So a few new wedding dresses. They also had a part of a jukebox that used to be in the Rover's Return sitting in the corner there.
Interesting.
Yeah, and so you could
get to see who picked me a song.
I can't zoom into my picture close enough. Do you want to see what's there, unfortunately? But it says, these are original props from the show used on screen from the 90s. Please do not touch. So I didn't. So good. that was cool and new for us. They had, I don't know whether this one was there before. There's a cricket bat in a box. Now I'm wondering whether this is the cricket bat that Roy went after Gary Windass with.
I don't remember that.
Not sure. And they also had a Rosamund Street sign that I didn't recognise. So that was cool. Best new addition for me, though, that was only kind of partially complete when we went there last time, was the number 9 set. So Fizz and Tyrone's house was there, and it was all complete, and it was kind of part how it is now, part how it was when the Duckworths were there.
It's a bit sparse.
Yeah, a little bit on the sparse side, but that only in comparison to how it is in the show at the moment, which is very crowded.
So what are they saying? What is this, then?
What do you mean?
I mean, it's not... Is it replicas or...?
Yeah, it's just replicas of bits that have been in that room over the years.
Because honestly, there's nothing to stop them, and I don't know who would be in charge of this, but there's nothing to stop them from buying two lots of something for a set and then swapping them in and out and saying, this has actually been on screen.
No.
Because I don't think that lot has been, has
no,
it?
No, I don't think so. But it looked really cool. You couldn't go inside it. That was barriered off. The Roy's Rolls set, you could go and have a sit down and...
get your photo taken.
Exactly. And there was obviously...
Still a table
There
place.
Was the Rovers bar as well. There was a big queue of people to get their photo taken behind the Rovers. No, I didn't because I'd already had one. But I did take a selfie with John Stape.
Nice.
John Stape cardboard cut. Didn't get to do that. I saw John Stape's cardboard cutout last time we was there. And then as I left, I was kicking myself, thinking, why didn't I get a selfie with John Stape? Well, now I have. And
one of the best serial killers in Coronation Street.
Another new costume here, Gemma.
Oh, Paul's unicorn
Paul Foreman's unicorn onesie, proudly on display there. So I made sure to get a picture of that one. Yeah. And that was it, really. So we kind of went down there, said goodbye to everybody. Oh, something else that I forgot about the gift shop was they had this machine that did personalised souvenirs.
What's that?
You could get your name...
Oh, yeah, stuff printed
you could
on
get
stuff.
Your name printed on stuff. So if you wanted, like, a travel mug that was £10 with your name on it and Coronation Street bricks.
That's
you could
good
get
idea.
That. They had, like, I think there was photo
was
frames
there.
A little
key for that?
No, there wasn't at all.
And how much...
Key rings were there, £5 for a Coronation Street key ring with your name.
Now,
very
remember,
nice idea.
Now, this is a constant dilemma. Remember, if you do personalise it, you can't sell it when you're fed up with it.
Not unless you find someone else with the same
specific
name.
A very specific pool of people.
But anyway, I bought my bottle opener and I thought that'd do. It's very nice, isn't it?
Yes, I will open many a bottle.
We will open many a bottle with that. Exactly. Well, that's what I thought. So it was really lovely going on the tour again. Very, very similar to how it had been before. Obviously, there's not going to be, you know, huge changes. But I did appreciate the route change. The new extra bits of information from the tour guide was fab. Really, really good idea to have the front of the Tony Warren building set up to look like Weatherfield General. As always, a very informative tour. Well worth the entrance fee. And cherry on top, seeing the lovely Tanisha Gori.
That's right. And also, Jane Danson was on Saturday.
Jane Danson was yesterday. Yeah, we missed her,
and she's got good reviews, isn't she? So yes. Well done, Jane. Well done, Tanisha.
Yeah.
Thank you to Neil. Thank you to Rory. And hello to Alfie. He's also a tour guide.
I did see Alfie. Yes. He was a tour guide there. And we waved at each other from afar.
Yes. And well done to everybody.
Yeah. Right, so that's taken us up to now, and we're just about to go out for dinner, so we've got plenty of other stuff in store for the week. We're going to have to wait for it, but I guess for you listening, it's just going to come right
straight
after
away.
This little bit of music. So
away.
here's what we're about to do next. Okay, it's the next day now. It's April the 1st. It's April Fool's Day.
I don't like April Fool's Day.
Yes, you do. So some people on the internet don't like April Fool's Day. That's fine. You go, I like April Fool's Day, and I like that we made an April Fool's
Day. It's literally half a day for one day a year. If you can't handle that, I don't know how you can.
We've had many years where you've said that we need to do something for April Fool's Day, and we did once with the Dirk character profile.
I think we've done a couple of ones.
Have
but...
we?
Well, I don't remember what the other one
this
was.
This one today felt like one of the most labour-intensive ones for something that lasted about 60 seconds, which is not quite true. Exclusive about what Kate Brooks is going to be doing with Coronation Street now she's at the helm, and I made a little short in it. I was doing it until about 1:30 last night because we had to get it ready for this morning.
It's not serious. It's all just fun.
Thank you to everybody who enjoyed that and liked it and replied and stuff. I hope we didn't mean to catch anybody out with it. It was kind of supposed to be kind
point.
Of obviously.
Listen, I do get people that like don't like rubbish April Fool's jokes because there are loads of them. Don't make people think things are real that should be real. Like, there are some things that aren't funny to joke about, but on the whole, April Fool's Day, really great. Don't be tedious and dull and say you hate it. Nobody cares.
No, you can be.
Nobody cares
mind.
What you think about April
I like
Day.
The one that Brian Altman did on Twitter today hours. Where he said about the Coronation Street sign outside the back of the studio is being
funny.
Lowered so you could
that
have your photo
really
taken in front of it. That was brilliant.
He
got Claire Sweeney, yeah. Luca Toole, and Alex Bain all to film a little video.
Yeah, that was really funny. Well done.
Yeah, we didn't get that. We didn't get that. Anyway, what have we been up to today, Gemma?
We went around looking at new, various filming locations.
As we are wont to do when we're here in Manchester. It feels like we're running out, but there's still a few best places that we haven't visited yet, although there were.
I think we should do these in reverse order because it did start off on a high and then got gradually
we could do backwards if you want to. Well, the last place that we visited today, I thought that was quite cool. It was in like a real vintage filming location.
The last place we wanted
it.
To go was Springwater Park.
Oh, we wanted to.
But there was an accident. Hope everyone's okay. On the motorway, and we just had to abandon.
The road was closed. So that was where last year Nina fell into a lake, if you remember, in the... was it the New Year's episode in 2023? And we were going to go there, and I thought it would be quite nice of a bank holiday Monday to go to a park, even though the weather today has been dreadful. But we didn't get up there, and I don't think we will this time. So we'll save it for another spot. But the last place
it's like
that
half
we...
an hour at, like, north of Manchester.
The last place that we probably did visit, though, was our vintage 1966... place in Stockport, which thanks to the guys at Choropedia, we were able to locate. Well, no, they told us where it was and we went there. And this was where Stan Ogden had a standoff when he became an ice cream man, and there was another ice cream lady there, and he was on her patch, and then they had a face-off, didn't they? It was a really fun scene. We watched it ages ago. I think it was on the DVDs. And there's a corner of where two roads join, where in the episodes, the two ice cream vans kind of park facing each other, don't they? And then Stan and the other ice cream lady come out, and then they're kind of glaring at each other. Then they go back to their vans because they realise they've left the music playing, and then they come back out and they have a go at each other. And the place looked really, really similar, doesn't it?
Yeah, that's right. All of these locations are on our map.
Yeah, I'd love a bit of promo there.
Like to find them there. We did a Google map with all locations.
You want to go there yourself. It's just a little corner of a terraced road. Yeah. I really appreciated being able to go there. Thank you very much, Choropedia people, for helping us find that one.
Standoff.
Yeah, exactly. We were there for about 30 seconds and we thought, that's enough of that. Well, anywhere else you want to call out that we've been to today?
We went to the Graffiti Palace. Is it a palace?
Yeah, but the place on Google Maps is called Graffiti Palace. Right. It's a city centre-ish, isn't it?
Not city centre-ish.
Not city centre-ish at all. No. It's off Fairbrother Street in Manchester.
Not anywhere near the city centre.
All right, well, what's so special about it?
So this is where Paul was taking a walk and he had a tumble, didn't he? And there's a big graffiti wall. It's opposite a tram line. And that tram line is actually, the stop there is where we saw Peter Barlow leave the street.
Yes.
Last year.
Yeah, Deansgate.
So,
two and one, no, wasn't it?
This is alongside the canal,
mm-hmm.
and it's a very it looks very distinctive, doesn't it?
Mm.
It's just
a canal edge with lots of graffiti on the side. It was pelting it down with rain, and also it was all double yellow lines everywhere. So we just had to have a quick.
No, we didn't. We parked
out.
Legally, and
yes, we definitely parked legally.
Quickly
somewhere.
Went and had a little recce of the area. It's very interesting visiting a lot of these places because. Even with the Stan's ice cream van thing, they're normally near somewhere you can put a lot of vehicles, like for filming, cameras, crew. So along where Stan's ice cream spot was, there's a little kind of cul-de-sac kind of area. Mm. This was a one-way street, wasn't it?
Yeah.
There's another spot we're going to talk about in a minute where you could park a lot of cars if you wanted to.
I thought this one was funny. A lot of the places that we visited today must have gone past so many times before.
I know.
Because we were just driving down a road, like, oh yeah, I remember this before. And it's like, oh, it's right next to us there. Not the Stan place in Stockport. I don't think we've been anywhere near there before. But this place where Paul had fallen over. Yeah, we'd gone right past before. Never knowing that Coronation Street would be filming there. Same with the other place that we went to today, which was the scene of Tim and Steve's confrontation back last, when was it, September time, I think, when they had Super Soap Week. So after Steve stows away in Tim's taxi and gets Tim to drive, well, Tim's going to drive to the police station, does a runner, Stephen chases him, whacks him on the head with a pole and chucks the pole away. That exact spot we visited, and it looked quite similar. It was another graffitied place.
Yes, it's like a strange little road where you can sort of drive down in it, and you can park there.
Mm. I wouldn't go there late at night because there's quite possibly some dubious types that frequent that particular area. But for 10 o'clock in the morning when we went, it was all right, wasn't it?
Yeah, we went
and
there.
There was a guy there.
There was a guy who owns the building that's there on the site, and he was like, kind of like, what are you doing here?
He was very nice.
He was really nice, but I was like, oh.
I thought he was going to tell us to do one.
I did think that. But he was actually really cool and friendly and nice. And we told him what we were doing. And he was like, oh, that's interesting. Why are you doing that? And we're like, oh, we'll do a podcast. He's like, interesting. And then he was like, oh, it's really nice how passionate you are. But yeah. I thought he was really lovely. And yeah. He said when he was sort of talking about when they filmed it and they came to have a look around, and he said the locations manager was very nice, mm-hmm. So shout out to you. And he was sort of saying, oh, don't stay here until after five, because you'll be locked in.
And literally, and we wanted to stay there about 5-10 minutes.
And he said, yeah, I said, oh, do you watch Corrie? And he said, oh, you know, I tuned in the other day and it was a bit dark. So I didn't.
Roy was being accused of something, and I like Roy, so I switched off again.
Yeah, he said, I like Roy, he's a nice guy. I was like, Oh, yeah, he was a really, really, really friendly guy.
Yeah, yeah. I'm really glad that we went there because we did enjoy Stephen Reed, as you might recall, if you've been watching the podcast or listened to the podcast since then. And it was nice to be able to step in the same place as Todd Boyce did. And I sent a few pictures to Todd and said, do you remember this? And he was like, yeah. So that was great. But I think, personally, the highlight of the day was where we went to first.
Should have killed him.
I know, I know.
Yes, we went to the Key Street set, or what is left of it.
Mm.
A bit sad to see there's... But that, honestly, I was... It is a bit sad, what you know, that there's... It's all been demolished.
The original home of
Harry
is no more.
But, surprisingly, more than you would think left.
Mm.
So if you want to go there, you can walk in there because they've got Crystal Maze, like, location at the, in one part of it. So it's open to the public, so you can go down to that part. But... You can still see Rosamond Street Medical Centre.
Yeah, which is now like a pub or a wedding venue or something called the Stables.
Yeah, and the other side of it, you can see the old bistro, like the viaduct area.
Yeah, and that looks like it's a reception because they're still using that area and some of the studio space there for studios, apparently.
And you know how they said they paved Paradise and put up a parking lot?
Mm.
They did the same thing to Coronation Street because it is a car park now.
Yeah, and they did. They have tarmacked it quite a lot, haven't they? There's a few cobbles poking through in various places. But it was really cool, and we went just at the right time because it was Bank Holiday Monday. Nobody else was there. The car park was empty. I can imagine that if we were there at many other times, it'd be very busy and it'd be buzzing with people. But we were able to explore to our... I felt like a proper urban explorer. Do you remember when the original Key Street set closed down?
Yes.
And then they had a few people that were snuck in there and
That's
were filming
right.
and all the derelict houses. I mean, none of that's there now. There's no shells of any of the houses. As it really is just the medical centre area and the bistro, the viaduct. But you could still see, looking above where those offices were on the viaduct, the new bricks, which you
yes.
can see in the new set as well. When you go on the tour, they say,
yeah,
look
so
above the bistro.
When the tram crash happened,
yeah.
the tram came through the bricks.
Yeah. Supposedly, in the fictitious world of Coronation Street.
Of course.
But they replaced the bricks to make them look newer.
Yeah.
And you can still look up and see that.
And that's been, like you said, recreated at Media City.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's really funny, isn't it? Because it's a facsimile of the aftermath of a crash, which is a facsimile of the aftermath of a crash, which
yeah,
never happened.
Yeah. So we wandered around. We were there for, 10, 15 minutes or so? And we wandered around where kind of Victoria Street would be. All of the other thing I suppose that you might recognise is the walls of the Bonded Warehouse, which is what is used as the brewery. Was used as the brewery in Old Coronation Street, and there's still like a mock-up of it there now. It definitely looked like, as a Coronation Street fan, you would see bits that you recognise, and
yes.
I was pleasantly surprised that it isn't just been completely flattened, which is what we thought would happen when they sold off the land. I mean, it's still a crying shame that they weren't able to preserve it as a heritage site, but you know, we're 10 years
We've
gone from that now, and
about that.
And Media City is a fantastic home of Coronation Street. It was funny going to the old place and today and seeing how small it seemed.
Yes.
Having just done the set tour yesterday, and you've done it plenty of times even though you didn't go yesterday, it did feel narrower and shorter, and
it felt like it was not really to scale.
Even
the going up the steps of the medical centre and the ramps and things, it's like this is definitely not the same size as the real one. That was the real one.
Mm.
The new one at Media City. So if you've been on the set tour, I wouldn't say go on this instead of the set tour, even though
no.
it's very expensive. If you're trying to save pennies, do this instead. But if you've done the set tour, go to this because it is funny to see how
yeah.
small it is. Because when you stand in front of where the medical centre is and look towards the bistro, you can really, really tell, like, how did they fit all these houses and the Rovers and Audrey's and the cabin and everything? How did it fit in this space? And it did. So that this, if you want a slice of Corrie history as part of your special wedding day or maybe a birthday celebration, if you've got £5,000,
yeah, we should get our vows renewed there, shouldn't we?
Free, you may hire the Stables as your venue to enjoy. I'm not sure what, but very nice. I bet.
I wonder if any fans of Corrie do get married there. It was funny as well because it was exactly 10 years ago this month that we first did the Coronation Street tour. It was in Easter holidays of 2014, and that's back when we released episode 90 of the podcast, and that was our first big Corrie tour of Manchester. I can't remember where we even went. We did a taxi tour, didn't we, around a few places, and we did the old set tour there, and now 10 years later, literally just a couple of weeks shy of the anniversary, we were able to stand in the exact same spots as we had been then. It's just, yeah, it was really nice. It was really nice to be able to do it. And we've been around the front of the Quay Street set before since it's been closed down, but not been able to get into this new bit. I don't know how long this part has been open to the public, but it was certainly blocked off for the longest of time, hence why these urban explorers needed to break in there to see the old crumbling sets. But yeah, really, really worth going. Yeah, nice bit of Corrie history that was. So we didn't get everywhere where we wanted to today, but nice to add a couple of other places. We'll check them off our to-do list. And like Gemma said earlier, if you want to find any of the places that we visited on our various tours of Manchester that Corrie has filmed in, or just other Coronation Street linked places, you can find our locations map, which is available on our blog at conversationstreet.podbean.com.
We've been to almost all of the places that we've listed.
Yeah, pretty much.
The thing is, we can't guarantee to you that on a particular day you'll be able to see this, that, or the other thing, because some of them are in areas that might get closed, like parks at night, etc. But it's definitely worth, I think it's worth going to the Quay Street set.
If you're a fan of the vintage.
But there's a few other bits. It's not vintage, though.
Classic, you know.
Well, it's not even that old.
First 50 years.
But you've also got the Science and Industry Museum, where they did
some film in there.
They've done some stuff there. You've got the park.
Yeah, St John's Park.
And you've got the hotel, the St John's Hotel, which was the roof. Was the factory, the raincoat factory.
Yeah. Yeah.
So there's loads of history around there. It's really worth going. And also it's very, very close to Manchester City Centre, unlike where Paul's Graffiti Wall.
Yeah. Right. Well, that's pretty much it for today, isn't it? It was a nice little day out. We still got a couple of things planned. What?
We went to the Moose Cafe for breakfast for our Canadian fans.
Oh, yes.
We did
the
it
Moose
for
Cafe.
You.
Mm-hmm. It was lovely. Had some nice pancakes.
But like I said, we'll talk about food maybe in a different one. I don't think anyone's that interested. But
we talk about many things that nobody's interested in, Gemma. Come on, admit it.
Michael's got a special day planned tomorrow.
Hopefully.
And hopefully he'll tell me some things that he did.
Hopefully. Well,
in the evening tomorrow.
Let's find out. Okay, we're back. It is Tuesday now, and I've had a day. Was it a special day? Kind of. We've been at the Corrie Studios. Not doing any behind the scenes looking at filming or anything, but just the usual,
just
somewhat nerdy, standing at the gates and hoping to see people as they come out or go in.
Mooching.
I've been having a mooch today. Gemma joined me partway through the day because she is a lot cooler than me. And you weren't your lion, but I got up and I got there at...
Yes, I spent the day with a lion.
I got there at about 7:30 in the morning, because I don't know what time people get there. And it was fog covering everything. It was cold. It was damp, so I couldn't sit anywhere. So I spent a lot of the first hour or so of the morning just leaning up against the bridge. I felt like I was a troll under the bridge, the Media City Bridge, just waiting to pounce on anybody that might come out. I mean, as the morning went on, I did do a bit of trip trapping over the bridge myself, because it was somewhat boring. It wasn't full of stars, I'll have to say, but we did see a few today. I saw a few, you saw a few later. It was quite a productive day. So you feel free to butt in at any point and ask me anything. Don't just let me talk. Come on.
Well, I thought, what,
give me your best interview question.
I thought you were going to tell me who you saw.
I did. I saw some people. The first person I saw, I was waiting by the side of the bridge, and I saw this
person. Hang on, which side? Where? What do you mean?
The Corrie side.
Corrie side. Yeah. So you're standing, because there's a nice little...
I was standing with my back to the studio.
Right, and there's a nice little kind of raised bit that is just, you can sit on it.
Yeah, but I wasn't that, because it was damp.
Yeah, it was wet, yeah. Wasn't it?
I haven't told Gemma any of this, by the way. I thought, like my trip to the studios the other day, I thought I'd leave it for live
reactions.
Well,
yeah, I've been waiting. Gemma.
Right, first
I've been
person
very good.
I saw.
I didn't ask you any questions.
First person I saw didn't get to talk to. It was Ben Price. He was a. I know. There we go. There's a reaction.
Is that why he came over?
What?
The second time?
No, no, no. Yeah, we did see Ben Price twice today, didn't we? I know. The first, yeah, he came over, but he was on the phone.
I bet he wasn't on the phone.
I don't know. I don't know. I was standing there and I was kind of looking, and he had a phone to his. He was doing a very good phone acting, if he was, because I know.
Maybe he was rehearsing.
We have had it made known to us before that sometimes cast members, if they don't want to interact with fans outside the gates, will pretend to be on the phone as they walk past. And so
I don't think anyone's told us that. They've not told me. I just assumed.
Oh, yeah. That's what maybe. I do. I can't remember.
That's what I do when I don't want to talk to people in real life.
That's what you do when you don't want to talk to me.
I can't support your charity. I'm on the phone.
Well, he did. You know, it sounded like a genuine phone call, but he is also a very good actor. So who knows? So I didn't speak to Ben Price. I just kind of had a look.
Did he look? Did he squint at you?
I don't think. Well, he must have known I was there.
But, he's like, he's not there for me.
But he didn't say anything. So he went in.
Did he look grumpy? Did he look in the eyes?
He was going into work, so there was probably an element of grumpy.
Did you exchange looks?
No, not at all. Not at all. So then I sat around for a very, very long time, and I was thinking, this is getting nowhere. I'm not going to see anyone today, because I'd already messaged a couple of people on the cast who were in touch with, saying, are you in? And the majority of them were not in today.
What time did you see Ben?
I don't know. I don't know what time it was.
Did you get a photo?
I kind of took a far away distance
snap
of him.
That'll be time stamped then, won't it?
Yeah, but do you want me to check? Do you need to know this?
This is important.
Hang on a minute. Well, you're going to have to fill some time then while I say this. Right.
Well,
Got into work at 9:38. So that was 2 hours into my journey.
You've been
there
for 2 hours?
Yeah. And Ben Price came and did a drive-by sneak into work. Or walk-by sneak into work.
Yeah, walk past.
Okay.
How many in total did you see?
You have to wait and see.
I want people to know what they're... Okay.
Not loads. The answer is not loads.
No.
But I saw some. I saw next up, I was sitting down a bit later on, facing the bridge, and I saw, and let me get the photo up for you here, just so that you can experience it at the same time as me, Gemma, I saw Mr. Trevor Michael George.
Oh, nice!
Yeah, bit of Ed Bailey.
Did he remember you?
I don't think he did, no.
Okay.
I went up to him and I said, hello, Trev, it's Michael from Conversation Street Podcast. He's like, hello, I didn't recognise you. It's right, I didn't expect you to. Because we'd seen Trev during one of our set tours once.
We met him before he was on screen, didn't we?
Yeah, we met him one of his first weeks of filming.
Because we saw him in the canteen.
Yeah.
And then we saw him later on at booths.
Yeah.
And I said, you've got to get used to being spotted now you're famous. Yeah. And he went, oh.
Well, I told him that. I said, we met you once. He didn't remember. And I said, just before you came on. He said, a lot of years have gone past since then. So that was quite nice. But he was in a rush. I said, can we get a photo, Trev? And he's like, if you're quick. So it feels like he needed
to go.
But he was very nice. He was like, do you do journalism all the time? I was like, no, I'm a teacher. Oh, what age do you teach? He asked me a few questions. I had a few nice little
nice
back and forth with our Trev we did. So he went in, and so I went and sat back down again. Now next up, I saw Ian Kershaw.
I was thinking about him earlier. I was like, we should have said something to...
Yeah,
Ian Kershaw.
I saw Corey Writer extraordinaire Ian Kershaw.
That's so funny because I was literally thinking about him when we were walking over the bridge.
Mm. Well, he was there. I knew we'd been told that the writers were having a conference day today, but I didn't even think.
Crisis
that means
talks.
Yeah, which they have every now and then. Apparently they're conferencing about October at the moment, so they're
doing
way
for
ahead.
My birthday.
Who knows? That's what they were deciding today, I guess.
Because it is a big national holiday.
So I wasn't expecting that at all. Now, when was the last time we saw him? It was back in the autumn, wasn't it? When we went to see his wife, Julie Hesman-Halger's book signing thing.
Yes, in London.
So that was very nice. And he wasn't alone.
What?
Corey Writer, Debbie Oates.
Debbie Oates?
Debbie Oates, yes.
That's cool.
Hey, never met her before. She was lovely.
Because they get on, don't they? And they do, like, sometimes they have their own little confabs.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm sure you said that.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm making that up. Have you got a photo?
I did not have a photo with them, unfortunately, no.
Well, I don't believe
Sorry,
you.
Sorry, it is true. It happened.
I'm
Ian
gonna
Kershaw,
have to get...
you can confirm this to my
you
disbelieving
You need to verify
wife.
This, because I'm not sure.
We had a little chat. They were saying, where's Gemma? I said,
killed her.
Well, no, Ian actually... I can't remember if it was him or whether it was someone else later on that said, have you thrown her in the canal? And I said, no, I just left
her. It's about
her.
Bloody time.
Just left her at the hotel today. And
what time was this?
What time was that?
Well, you don't know because you don't have a photo.
No, I don't have a photo of that, so I don't know what time that was.
Well, I was probably still asleep.
Well, we talked. He said that he was a bit behind on the podcast, but he just listened to our What's Happened to Lauren Bolton podcast. And I was like, oh, were we kind of close anywhere near? And he's like, oh, there's elements of some truth in there.
Oh, that's interesting.
So not everything that we said in our Lauren Bolton podcast is a load of rubbish. And he said it was very good how we got all the clues together. So thank you very much. And Debbie was lovely. She said, who do you want us to kill?
She sounds cool.
Yeah, she was really, really nice. She was lovely.
I like people that talk about murder in a flippant way.
Yeah, and while we were talking, then another Corrie writer came over. I think he said it was Stephen Fay. But he recognised the name. He had a quick hello. We had a shake of hands.
Oh.
And then they went in. So that was quite cool. I wasn't expecting to see any writers there. There's always like lots of production crew that come in and out, aren't there, when you're waiting at the gates? And there are hundreds of people there.
Camera people, electricians, makeup, yeah, office people, wardrobe, yeah, people that just do admin.
But that was really nice. I've never. And then
were you sitting there and you saw him?
I was just sitting there and I saw him, yeah, and he came
out. Did he see you?
I think he saw me first, yeah.
Like, what the hell is he doing there?
What are you doing there? And then a little bit later, Joe Parkinson came over, who is the story producer at Coronation Street, head story guy, and we had a bit of a chat as well. And he told me to say hello to you.
Hello!
So this is me passing on my hello from Joe to you. Hello from Joe.
Oh, hello.
Yeah, there we go. I can't remember what we talked about.
Did he tell you that to say Belton instead of banging?
Oh no! He messened just last night and said that it should be Belton, Bog Standard, and Bobbins, but it's a brand now. I'm
well, he needs to say he should have said it should be only Belton.
Do you reckon?
Never Bog Standard.
Oh yeah,
or Bobbins.
He should. Yeah, no, it's always perfect. Yeah, so that was lovely. What else? And then
can I just say a thank you for the grace and general good human beingness of all these people to be so nice and kind to us when we basically make a very meagre amount of money from slagging a lot of what they do off.
We do no slagging. We are constructive critics and no
I
more.
Hope, well, I'm sure, I assume that they appreciate we do it from love and a place of caring, but I'm always so, like I said, grateful for how gracefully they
know that we love the show.
Well, we wouldn't talk about it for hours if we didn't care about it.
The writers,
and we've said before, like, how great we think that, like, even when we didn't enjoy that episode or whatever, we still really enjoy Coronation Street, and these are the people that, you know, put their heart and soul and passion into making this, and we really do appreciate them for everything that they do.
Do indeed.
And I don't want Joe Parkinson to beat me up.
I forgot to say another thing that, I was speaking about with Ian Kershaw and Debbie Oates was about leaks, because there's been quite a big Corrie storyline leak in the past week, which we're not going to be talking about at the moment. And it's like, oh, where did it come from? They don't know where these leaks come from. But
were they mad about it?
They probably were, but they were talking to me a little bit about
because it could have been them
other leaks that have happened in the past.
If they're not mad about it, maybe it was them.
Maybe I won't say no anything more about this.
What?
No. Just, you know, they talked about other leaks in the past. But that's all that I'm going to say. I'll tell you.
Oh, you tell me.
so anyway, that was lovely. Then I kind of decided to have another walk around. And I thought, oh, no, I'm going to go and have a drink in the Corrie Experience. Because they've got the cafe there, haven't they?
Because I stared through the window and I came to you about 3.
Yeah, you came and joined me later.
And it was closed by
It was
point.
Also closed when I went there as well.
Oh.
I thought I'd go and have a drink in the Corrie Experience, but I couldn't. I went across there and they had some signs up because you can go in to see the exhibition floor during the week, but you got to book tickets in advance. Oh. I assume you can go in there and pay on the door, I don't know. But I kind of rattled the door there and then went to head off, and a security guard came out and was like, oh yeah, what do you want?
Don't touch the doors, pleb.
And I said, oh, I just wanted to have a drink in the cafe, but I guess it's not open. He's like, no, it's not open. So they don't have the cafe open during the day. And then I was like, oh, all right, thank you very much. And he like that said, your Conversation Street, right?
No, he didn't.
I was like, yeah, how do you know? And he's like, oh, well, it comes up on my phone.
What the heck? No, you're lying.
No, the security guard knew who I was.
No, I think you're on a list.
No. Well, maybe I am on a list.
Your face is on the...
Don't let this person in for a cup of tea.
What do you mean he know who
I just told you.
How do you know you?
Because he said, I don't know, maybe he likes Coronation Street as well as just working for it.
But how would he know what you look like?
From, like, videos and whatever.
That's so funny. Yeah. I'm sure your face has been circulated.
Oh, maybe it has. Debbie Oates said that she just watched my interview with Vicky Myers as well, by the way, and she said she liked it, so she knew my face.
This is why I need to remain incognito, in case we need somebody to go in and kind of like...
Yeah, nobody knows your face.
Yeah, nobody knows who I am.
So anyway, so I stood around. There was a couple of more meetings after that. I have got one photo here. Let me paint you the scene and I'll see if you can guess who this person was.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so this person is somebody who we have met before.
Okay.
They came over the bridge. They stood at the top of the bridge. They did a little bit of a film of the ITV buildings and then they came over. Who might have done a little bit of a film of their workplace just as they got there? Possibly to upload to social media later.
Is an actor.
Yeah.
Is it...
And if you follow this... Well, we do follow this person, so they did put it on social media later that I didn't appear in. Who really likes working at Coronation Street and likes to put online when they...
I forgot the name of the actor.
It's Alex Bain.
Alex Bain, that's right.
Yeah, Alex Bain came. He had like this the black hoodie on and the... I wasn't sure if it was him at first, but he stood there at like the crest of the bridge filming. I was like, I wonder if that's him, because he'd been putting loads on his Instagram recently, like, oh, I'm at work. And so, yeah, he came down. And by that point, there were some other fans that had arrived and they were sitting down on some of the seats in front of me and they stopped him. And he kind of put his hood down and they got a few pictures with him and I went and got a picture with him as well. And we didn't really talk for too long. He also needed to get inside. But here's my picture of me with Alex Bain. My hair blowing in the wind.
Did he remember
there.
You?
I'm going to say no. He said he did.
But I think I talked to him more than you did.
Yeah, you mostly spoke to him when we talked to him before. I said, we spoke at Millie Gibson's leaving party. Do you remember? He's like, oh, yeah. Anyway, he went inside. That's the last photo I've got to show you.
You must meet so many people.
Yes, if you're famous. And then my final encounter before you arrived was somebody who I also had been told would be there, and they came clopping over the bridge, and it was Shelley King.
Ah!
Yeah, we have met Shelley King numerous times on that bridge, haven't we? And I saw her at the top of the steps, and I walked over, and I was like, hello, 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 it's Shelley.
You said you thought you'd saw her, and you didn't know.
I know, I thought I'd saw Shelley King earlier in the day, but it was somebody else. She was bundled up with a scarf and a hat earlier on,
but it wasn't her.
This was the actual Shelley King, but she was like, hello, hello, I'm late, hello, oh, Michael, hello, I'm sorry. And I got a hug from Shelley. And
She
literally couldn't. She's like, I'm late, I'm always late. And she was rushing in. And the other people that were there stopped her. And she was like, okay, really quickly. And she signed something and then she darted in. But she's always like been very, very nice and getting happy to chat. But this time she was clearly somewhat on retard. So anyway, that's my encounters for today. And then, they're the main casting.
That was pretty good.
Yeah, that wasn't bad. That wasn't bad. You know, the first couple of hours I was thinking, was this a total waste
of
time?
Can I tell you, don't bother turning up before 9 in future?
Maybe that's a good idea. But then we had an encounter of our own, didn't we? Where you turned up and we had arranged to have lunch with John and David from Chiropedia.
Well, you had a sandwich and nobody else did.
Yeah, I had a sandwich because I'd been sitting around outside all day. Yeah, so we had a Conversation Street Chiropedia meet up in the Costa for an hour and a half or so.
It was really, really good fun.
I'll let you talk for a little bit now.
Well, they know so much about Cori, it's like scary. I don't even think they need the website to cross reference anything.
It's all in their heads.
They just remember like episode numbers and dates and actor names and locations, and they were talking about locations and the research that they do trying to work out, and they were talking about like a Moors scene that they've tracked down the actual house where it was filmed.
Yeah, I mean, we've got our locations
just amazing
list, but
they've told us most of them. They are just
they're very knowledgeable,
fantastic,
yeah.
Really friendly. Really good
David
fun.
David came all the way down from Glasgow.
I know.
Just on a whim to meet up with us today when he heard that
well,
John was also
I hope he had a nice time.
Yeah, I hope so as well. Yeah,
I enjoyed talking to both of them.
Yeah.
They're just so much fun to talk to you and really good laugh and just awe-inspiring.
We mostly talked about kind of old episode-y kind of things, didn't we? Vintage Corey.
We had a chat about this and that and And then that was about a couple of hours, wasn't it? We were there.
Yeah, maybe. Roughly.
And it was really good. Yeah, really good.
Yeah, and then
I had a really great time. It didn't feel like it was 2 hours. No. I felt like we were there for 10 minutes.
Then we went back to the set, but we decided to
thank you try for meeting our... up with us.
Thank you very much. We decided to try our luck and go around the front for the last how long? We was did it? A hour and a half, 2 hours or so. Yeah. So if you go to see the people at the studios, if you catch some of them on foot if you go through the back gate, but then the front is where the car drivers will be entering and exiting. And we went there and we stayed there for a while, and there were a couple of other fans there, weren't there? There were three lovely ladies.
We were there for like 2.5 hours.
A dad and a daughter turned up, and Gemma was very chatty with them.
Well, I always like to say, you know, well, whenever we meet people, I always ask them, do you, you know, how long you've been watching it? What do you like? What do you think of this? What do you think of that?
Mm.
What do you think of this person? And I ask them all the questions about... I just really, really like talking to people about Corey and their opinions, because I think sometimes I get worried that I'm in a bubble, because the internet is one thing and then people that watch it are another. And it is really interesting too, because I think sometimes I'll say I'm from a podcast, sometimes I won't. Or, you know, I might bring it up later. But people are really, really frank with their opinions, which I find quite refreshing. Because a lot of the time when we talk to people, it will be maybe cast or crew or, you know, and they always kind of, you've got to be a bit cagey or not quite, you know, oh, what do you think, kind of. But people you meet on the street are like, yeah, bloody hate, you know. Like, for example, say we meet up with a listener, and they and will say, you know, what do you think? They know we love Stephen. They might not, you say, I hate Stephen, because they know that we like him. But if you meet somebody, you know, like you, who doesn't know who we are, they'll be like, I hate Stephen. I don't know. I love Tim. He's the best character. and so we've got quite a lot of interesting, chat about that. And they were talking to us about how often they've come before and how long they've been watching the show and what they think's going to happen next and who they've seen and what they were like.
Yeah,
and
they were really, really
how
lovely.
Who's friendly to the fans and who isn't, which is quite interesting.
They're also talking about who they wanted to see, and they were like, oh, I really want to see Bill Roach. We'd never met him before.
Yes, and we saw him.
We saw Bill Roach. He was driving out in his car, in his personalised number plate. He gave a little wave. Like, most of the people that came out and went in that we saw during that period didn't stop. We got a couple of waves, but we saw Bill Roach and he waved when we saw that we were there. Ben Price, this is when we saw him again. He came out and got a photo with some of the others. We didn't get a photo with
him. I was really surprised. He pulled up because he was going in, and because so I'll just describe it to people that haven't been there. It's the outside when they do the Highfield prison scenes.
Yeah.
So when you drive in, you're on the other side of the road to the place where you wait. So there's like a little pavement area, and it's on the right of the studios, which is a very clever position, because when you're driving in, you're very far away, so you don't have to interact if you don't want to. When you come out, the driver's side is the opposite side to the pavement, which gives the actors a bit of space to decide if they want to stop or not, because some of them are shy, some of them might have been doing very harrowing work and might be a bit stressed out or still feeling, you know, a lot of emotions from whatever they've been doing. They might not want to stop and talk. But Ben Price drove his car, got stopped right before the gate, got out in his little shorts and jogged over.
Yeah, I think he'd been out for a run.
Had a photo and kind of like went off again.
Yeah. So
that was really, really nice of him. Nice. And they were absolutely, the girls there were so chuffed to see him. Mm. And they thought it was brilliant that they came out. The one thing I will say, I understand why the actors sometimes don't want to come out. And some, I've not really met up with many people like this, but I do know there are a few people who are a bit cynical who come and they just want photos or autographs or whatever to sell. So maybe some people are worried about that. But when an actor does get out of the car or wave, it really does make people's day. Mm-hmm. And it is quite thrilling, because you can be there for hours and standing around in the cold waiting.
It's
and then when somebody acknowledges the fans. It's just a small gesture, but it really does mean a lot.
Yeah, we got a couple of waivers. We had Tina O'Brien came out, didn't she? she gave a little wave. Just as we were leaving, Charlie Jordan came out and she gave a little wave as well.
She did, yeah.
Jack P. Shepherd came in as we were there in his flash black car. He didn't... did he wave? I don't think he waved. I think he just went in.
He's like... Bye, losers.
Yeah. And we also got a little visit from Georgia Taylor, didn't we?
Yes,
we
did.
Who I'd been texting back and forth during the day, and she'd been in filming a couple of scenes.
And she came out.
She came out.
She yeah. got out of the car, and the ladies that we were with were so happy that she let them have a photo, and she was really, really nice.
Yeah, and then she had a bit of a chat with
us. She talked to her, and then when she drove off, they were like, oh, she was so lovely. She was so pretty. Oh, she's so pretty and nice. And I was like, yeah, she is. Yeah. She is lovely.
Anyway, and then we came back here. So that was our day. So, yeah, a few, you know... a decent number of encounters, and having those being able to see those writers as well and
yeah.
have a chat with them, they like really bolstered the numbers.
So thank you everybody who
stopped. Yeah, there we go. So anyway,
did you see Kate Brooks?
I did not see Kate Brooks. I don't know when Kate Brooks is starting, but I was wondering. Oh, I wonder if it's this week. But anyway, didn't see that, and that is nearly the end of this podcast. But we have got one extra Corrie related thing that we are planning to do tomorrow. So let's just finish off the episode by hopefully talking about that. And now we're back home. It's Saturday. We've been back since yesterday, but we've been too tired. We did one more slightly Coronation Street related thing, didn't we, on the final part of
our... Was it slightly or was it...
But it was very Coronation Street related. It was perfectly, you know, I would count this as Coronation Street related, but it was over in Belfast. We had to travel on an aeroplane to get there to do it.
Went from Manchester Airport.
Yes, very early on. When was it? Wednesday morning, Thursday morning. Well, I lost track of the days
Wednesday. We were going to like go, oh, let's look at, because we like looking at filming locations, and they have filmed at Manchester Airport, but it was so stressful and horrible.
Yeah.
We just...
They've done loads of trips to Manchester Airport and Corrie over the years, but it was, what time did we have to get there? Like 5 o'clock or something?
Yeah.
We just needed to get on the plane and get set. We won't talk for ages about this, because although we did do one Corrie related thing on here, the majority of it wasn't, and as much as some of you maybe might like to hear about our adventures in Northern Ireland, that's not what this video is about. So which is ironic really, because this is what we've got the most footage of. So if you've been watching the YouTube version of this and you've been seeing how I've been able to stretch the boundaries of acceptability for what can go on a Corrie YouTube video, with lots of tram footage, lots of walking around footage, a little bit of old footage as well. We got tons of Belfast footage, but we're not going to show this now, because we're going to go really quickly, because this has already been running long. Gemma, what do we go to Belfast for? Well, what was the main Corrie draw of Belfast?
Mikey Condren.
Yes, it was.
Michael Condren, who played Griff, mm-hmm. the evil white supremacist, who really, is it his fault that Lauren's missing? We did investigate.
Yeah, we did. We asked him whether he knows what's happened to Lauren. He's like, no, I don't know.
He was in prison.
Yeah, Mikey was someone that we interviewed a year ago or so on the podcast when he left Coronation Street. And when we knew that we were going over to Belfast, we didn't go over there to see him. Sorry, Mikey, that wasn't our main...
I think that was the major reason that you picked. Because we had a choice.
Yeah.
We could have gone to Dublin or we could have gone to Belfast. We've not been to either. We want to go to both.
Yes. We went to Belfast. We knew that Mikey would be there.
That was the draw.
So we agreed to meet up. So we went up to... We found him in the cafe after a few hours of us touching down, and had a lovely little chat with him for about an hour. He was so nice.
He bought us a little cake.
And I knew that he would be nice, because it was me that had chatted to him before, but this was your first encounter with him, wasn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, that's right.
What did we talk about?
We talked about his time on Corrie. We talked about what he's doing at the moment. I don't think there's much that we can sort of share, because there were some things that he said that it was like, don't, you know. So
yeah, we know what his projects, his upcoming, soon-to-be-put-on-TV things
are going to be. We didn't say we're going to be talking about what we've spoken about on the podcast. So I don't think it's right to sort of go into any great detail. But he was so nice, and he was really lovely about his time on Corrie. He was talking about the character of Griff and how he likes to work and what his methods are. And
he seemed to really, really care about the character, despite the fact that it was a minor character, somebody who was only in the show for, 6 months or so.
And also, like, he's a villain, and he clearly is a completely different kind of person to Michael Condren, and he has nothing there
that you can take from his person to make Griff.
It was totally the opposite. He was just the nicest guy, and he was falling over himself.
Anything racist,
nothing at all.
At any point,
falling over himself to help us with things to do while we were in Belfast.
So, yeah, he gave some good
recommendations. Right, you need to do this, you need to go that, you need to go and sit. So we did do that. I even went to a bar. Yes, that is right.
That's
me, Michael, in a bar because Michael Condren told us to go, and I held a pint of Guinness, but
so
I didn't drink it.
We can share some of his tips, can't we? About
if you want
how to spend your 2 days in Belfast. He said, definitely do an open top bus tour, which we did.
Mm-hmm.
Look around, it takes you around the city and you can look at some of the sites and learn about the history and things like that. It wasn't very heavy, it was quite a light kind of tour. Mm. 90 minutes, takes you all the way around to the Titanic Museum and the HMS Caroline and things like that. So if you want to explore, you can jump on and off it, which we didn't have time to do, unfortunately. So that was a really good one. He also talked about the black cab tours, which is another thing that you can do. It's a bit more of an intimate and kind of serious talk about the troubles and the various spots and things that happened there, which wasn't something that I was wanting to do particularly because...
what a delight holiday. And then the second day we were there, we spent the whole day on a bus, didn't we, on a coach tour. We went to see some various Game of Thrones filming locations and ended up at the Giant's Causeway, which was pretty cool, in somewhere that we kind of fancied going one day. It's a bit of a bucket list place.
Yep.
Nice to go there. Bit chilly, I'm going to say.
So what was the name of the pub we went to?
Old York? Was it York something? Duke of York? Something
so
like that.
So that was what his
Mikey told us to go there. So we
do good Guinness, and so I had some. It is Guinness. It was Guinness. Yeah, yeah.
And then that was it. And then we went home even earlier. We had to wake up at 3 o'clock on Friday morning to be able to go back to us. Flew back to Manchester, got in early in the morning, saw my dad on the way back, and then worked our way back home. But we were absolutely shattered by the time we got back, which is why we didn't record the podcast on Friday night. And in fact, that's what we're going to be doing in just a minute after we finished recording here. So that was it.
That was our great
that was
big
our
Manchester,
Easter,
Belfast,
curry tour.
Coronation Street trip.
Good time.
We will be doing it again next year and selling tickets. They will be £20,000 each because it was so much tiring work.
Do you think we could be curry tour guides?
I think we could.
Our own black cab,
honestly,
and we could take people around places.
We really, really could, but you'd have to drive.
We
can only take three people.
Yeah, okay. Well, let's workshop this idea. Let's think it through.
We could get a coach, couldn't we? Do a coach tour.
We certainly know enough places now.
It would be super anticlimactic, though. And half the people, you know, you always get dragged along. And then half the people on the coach would not be interested and couldn't muster any passion whatsoever for the place where Uncle Stephen beat him up.
Well, all of the... I realised that as I was listening to this earlier today, I called him Steve about three times rather than Stephen.
Who?
Uncle Stephen. Yeah,
oh.
So I probably was a little bit of confusion there, but as I said, don't edit this, don't care. Anyway, so all of the places that we've talked about visiting today are on our Coronation Street locations map.
Except
apart from Belfast, because Corrie has never filmed in Belfast.
It hasn't filmed.
It would have been nice to have seen some Corrie filming locations there, but alas, they haven't made the trip across
the Irish
Sea yet.
I cannot believe they filmed in France multiple times and they have never been to Ireland or Northern Ireland.
I know.
I find that really mind-boggling because it's so much closer to them than France is. Like, to us, we go to France quite often because it's just there. Like, it's so, so easy to get there. If I lived in Manchester, I'd go to Ireland and Northern Ireland.
Well, maybe this is why they haven't been doing lots of locations recently, because they're just saving up to get across to Ireland.
Or Northern Ireland.
Or maybe not. Anyway, that's it. So
if you want to go, Belfast is so nice. It's really lovely. Everyone's really friendly. And I enjoyed it. I would love to go back again. I don't know if we ever will be able to, because it is such a long way to go for us. But I really, really enjoyed
it. I'm glad we went.
It was great. It was really, really great.
Yeah. Anyway, so that's it. Thank you, everybody, for listening or for watching, if you've been watching this on YouTube as well. Like Gemma says, we will no doubt be up in Manchester again. I don't know if we're going to go again this year, whether it's going to be a 2025 thing. But we're kind of running out of places to visit now, but that's not going to... When has that ever stopped us from making content?
Because they'll do more location shoots,
yeah,
won't they?
Yeah, absolutely. They certainly will. Well, you know, as we talked about this rumour that's been in the press release just in the past week, that presumably required a bit of location shooting, so maybe we'll
Maybe we'll head out there sometime. If it's true. Right, anyway, I've been dithering around for too long about this. We've got another podcast to record now. So thank you, everybody, for listening or watching or whatever. Gemma, thank you very much for joining me. You made an excellent holiday companion.
I did. See you later.
You can say the same back to me.
You've got to make a video for everything we say here.
It's fine, we've got loads of Belfast footage. All right, okay.
You were great too. Well done.
Yay. Bye.